This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering the Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. All right, so coming up, we're going to talk. There's some dumb tweets that we're going to go through, and on Good Morning Liberty, every week we do a dumb bleep of the week where the live group votes on the dumbest thing that was said in politics that week. So if you hear us numbering things out, we do have them all listed out. Our live group, which you guys aren't going to be a part of right now, but maybe someday, joingmail.com, they get to vote on the dumbest one. And let me tell you what, there are plenty of dumb things every week. A couple of these have to do with climate change. Let me show you this dumb tweet. I like that little segue.
You can't show anybody anything.
We're not showing. I'm showing you this dumb tweet.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to tell the people.
I'm going to tell everyone else what it says. This is from Jesse Roos. I don't know. I guess that's her last name. R-O-O-S on Twitter. I saved this one this morning because, and it's real. She backs it up. She's arguing in favor of it. This is a real thing. Things we should do immediately to combat climate change. Number one, Charlie, you're not going to like this one very much. The number one thing we can do immediately to combat our climate right now is to ban golf courses.
That's right.
Number two is to ban private flights. Number three.
Because she can't take them.
Is to. And she doesn't, some people said that. Yeah.
And she doesn't play golf.
That's exactly what some people were saying on there. I went through all the comments were hilarious too. And she like tries to back everything up and give a rationale and all that. Number three is ban grocery stores from trashing unsold food and require donation before expiration. You know what you'd have to do before that? You'd have to repeal the laws making it illegal for them to donate their unsold food because, see, that's what so many people don't get. Number three, just right off the bat, really dumb on here, because grocery stores can actually get in trouble like with the health department for donating.
They're allowed to donate some
food.
Things. Yeah.
And they do. A lot of them do. Maybe you get your, I don't know, your day old bread or whatever it is.
You can tell she's never worked at a food bank.
Has not.
Because I have volunteered at a food bank, and I tell you what.
She also hasn't worked at a grocery store.
There's pallets of freaking stuff from Kroger and Publix all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, it has to be certain food. They do get in trouble for donating other things. But, yeah, pallets of stuff that we had to sift through so that the food bank can figure out where it needs to go.
And so that's going to help us combat climate change. And also, number four is vehicle registration fees by weight.
That's the top four list. It's the top four.
No one had laid it out like this so easily beforehand. And also vehicle registration fees by weight is also already a thing.
Are you in the car when they weigh it or just when you buy the car?
Depends on where the price break is. I don't know. The main thing they do, though, is by axle. And so that typically will change. You know, your weight is going to change a lot then. So banning golf courses. Why would that help with climate change? Well, because they spend a lot of money on irrigation, and maybe they tear down some forests for that.
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure.
Tell you what, man, at the golf course I play at, they had these beavers in this little pond that they were just tearing the trees down. They had to put chicken wire around the the trees.
They didn't keep them old Caddyshack beavers from coming up there.
Legit beavers, man. I seen them.
I say just leave it the beaver. Number two is ban private flights. Okay. Private flights do use a lot more carbon per person.
How are they going to get to the G20 summit?
That's a big, how are you going to tell people that they need to ban the private flights if you can't privately fly to the place to give your speech?
Yeah. How are you going to get to G40 or whatever it's called?
There is a difference in something being way worse per person for the climate change or whatever, for the atmosphere, for the CO2, and it being a large driving factor of CO2 in the atmosphere.
So basically there's going to be nobody at the next IPCC meeting.
Oh. And I, you know, for that one, I guess I can kind of agree. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever, if that's what we get.
I get so pissed, you know, like Leonardo DiCaprio, like screaming at me.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change from his private jet.
He's like, let me tell you this, Charlie.
That's pretty good, actually. That's pretty good.
Here's the really dumb thing.
That was Leo from Wolf of Wall Street.
That was Wolfie.
Yeah.
Vehicle registration fees by weight. You know what I caught that's really dumb? EVs weigh way more than regular cars do. And so I got bored this morning. This is before I even got out of bed. I was pulling this stuff up this morning. And a, let's just say like a Tesla Model S, 40, we'll just do the regular Model S. We won't even go up to the Plaid. Model S, 4,500 pounds. Okay. Now, I have a Honda Accord, so that's what I looked up. What's a Honda Accord? What's the one that I have? 3,100 pounds to maybe 34. So technically, if you're doing vehicle registration by, and this is to fight climate change.
Mm.
If you're doing the registration cost by weight, then it would be more expensive for an EV than it would for a regular gas vehicle, like the one I have.
Mm-hmm.
And this just goes to tell you that there's nothing we can do. We're all going to die from climate change because all those options, those are the top things we can do, and they're not even going to do anything. So
well, now the leaders can't meet anymore.
No,
so
it's all shut down. They can't play golf between the meetings.
No,
because those have been banned also.
What do you think? You know, what do you think these leaders are going to do?
And not lead.
The world
leave without a golf course
and a private jet to get there.
Yeah. Okay, that's. I'm glad we had a little segue into some of the dumb. Number one is going to be called old politicians.
Mm.
All right. Now, like we said the other day, I'm not trying to make fun of Mitch McConnell.
I am.
I feel for him as, you know, his family watching as he did whatever happened here, a stroke or a seizure or whatever happened to him while he was speaking at the podium. It's not just him we'll be talking about. We'll talk about a couple other old politicians. And it's not just that what they did was dumb, because it wasn't dumb. It's perfectly predictable for old people to have moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
It happens when you're in your 80s. So it's totally normal for this to happen. What should not be normal is us continuing to put these people in office. I'm pretty sure if is it Dianne Feinstein? She also had a moment that we'll be talking about. I think she, Dianne Feinstein. If she were to run for re-election, she'd probably win again. And she doesn't even know which way is up.
Got Nancy right Pelosi's,
yeah.
Joe Biden's.
Nancy Pelosi looks like a golden genius compared to a lot of these people.
Yeah.
Although I haven't seen her in a bit. What's she up to?
Maxine Waters.
Yeah, super old also. And so the problem is not that these people are old and doing dumb things or having medical incidents, because that's totally normal. What's not good is the fact that not we, because it's not you guys, I know. So technically number one goes to the American people. For continuing to
minus
put these people
the listeners
in
of Good Morning Liberty.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone else, though. So here is Mitch McConnell. Even the sound had a stroke.
It kind of took him a while to catch on, too.
This has been a great meme, by the way, that I've seen. And, you know, I don't know if I agree with, I agree with it. It's fine. It's been a really great meme. One of the best ones has been like, man, this edible isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And then it's like me 15 minutes later. It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Okay, so.
Resting Mitch face. I like that. McDad.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so that's one. Then we got Dianne Feinstein. They're having this vote on the on how much we're going to spend on the military. How many billions of dollars are we going to spend? And I want everyone to rest assured, if you're in her district, she
knows what's going on.
She is voting for you, and it's definitely not her aide who tells her what to say.
It's Dianne. You say aye. Pardon me?
Aye.
Yeah.
To say.
I would like to support a yes vote on this. It provides $823 billion. That's an increase of $26 billion for the Department of Defense. And it funds priorities submitted.
Yeah, just say aye.
Okay, just...
Thank you. It's not time for a speech.
Oh, God. That's so terrible. She looks like a sweet lady, you know, and I know she's not. She's a terrible fire-breathing demon. But, you know, she looked like a sweet enough lady right there. She probably doesn't remember how evil she is.
No.
You know.
This is like, oh. Oh, and just say aye.
So, the state of our republic is strong.
Mm.
All right. And then, by the way, I forgot the Mitch McConnell thing. He made a little joke walking out later. He's doing okay. Looks like the clot passed.
Well, the president called to check on me. I told him I got sandbagged.
Oh, and then, how are you feeling now, sir? How are you feeling now?
I'm fine.
Have you seen a doctor? Are you going to
Any
see a doctor?
Any idea what happened?
Huh?
Any idea what happened?
I'm fine. That's good.
Dehydrated?
Okay.
I'm fine.
I'm fine. I just spent billions of dollars.
I'm old as hell, but I'm fine.
And then another moment here when our dear leader said that we cured cancer, or we ended it as we know it, which, by the way, when you anytime a new treatment comes out, you've ended cancer as we know it.
Mm.
It's different now. There's a new treatment.
Yeah.
So here's Biden doing that.
If you could do anything at all, Joe, what would you do? I said I'd cure cancer. They looked at me like, why cancer? Because no one thinks we can. That's why. And we can. We'd end the cancer as we know it.
Okay.
Mm.
You know.
I like how he takes the credit for it.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
This is a big I statement.
It's probably, yeah, it probably has to do with all the funding that they've put into the healthcare, our completely privatized healthcare system.
That's right.
That has nothing to do with the government.
Mm.
So that's all number one, old politicians and all the voters who keep putting them in office. Number two, let me explain here for a second. Number two is going to be called, what did I name it?
You just named it climate change.
Okay. Spike Cohen. You heard of Spike Cohen?
I think so. Who's
yeah.
That?
He basically talks about how if you're worried about man-made greenhouse gases, if you're worried about CO2 emissions, then you should be focusing on the Asian nations, specifically China, who is increasing their emissions and is the largest portion of the emissions. Okay, that's where most of them are coming from. And this guy, Eric Davis, who in his name has in parentheses that he was legacy verified.
Mm. But he ain't paying for it.
He's not going to pay for it, but he wants everyone to know that he used to be legacy verified in his name. So take him seriously.
Mm.
All right, because he knew somebody. He said, Charlie, go ahead.
He said, always fun when a person with no education on a topic tries to use a gotcha and shows how little they know. Spike, while we do need to reduce overall global emissions per year, this is about cumulative. I don't know why I couldn't say that word this morning.
It's early.
Too early.
Yeah. It's early right now.
Cumulative emissions. I'll give you one guess which nation leads that.
So I just want to clarify what he says the problem is. It's not how much countries are emitting right now. It's what their total is over time. And that's somehow what we need to fix.
Mm.
So Eric, I assume, has a time machine and we're going to go back and remove some of them. I think we don't want
to
just...
From the 60s and 70s?
Yeah, we don't just want to go to net zero. We have to go to net negative. We have to stop everything, and we actually have to be removing... We have to have no carbon emissions, but also we have to be removing carbon from the atmosphere at the same time to make up... It's carbon reparations, actually, is what it is. That's what we have to do.
So Bailey just said climate change reparations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even have the chat up. Nice.
That's good.
There we
Copperhead
go.
Said unrealized climate emissions.
Yeah, so
it's just unrealized. That's it.
If you're talking about climate policy, the thing is, almost nothing that we do matters when it comes to emissions. It could matter some, but as China and India are ramping up their emissions, we're just going to end up sending ourselves back to the Stone Ages while they're just flourishing, you know, doing better and better as they come out of their terrible, terrible economic problems they've had over a long time. And so if you're going to worry about it, you got to see if China's going to do something. If they're not going to do anything, then what are we doing here other than paying a bunch of people who have green companies?
Well,
which is what we're doing here.
It's not about climate change.
What's it about?
We know that. It's a way to funnel money.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to get people stirred up enough about it, then you can funnel money in any direction you want to, and people will be like, oh, yeah, it's good. We're spending money there.
So one of the things that's been happening, I don't know if you've seen the news, but everyone is all up in arms about this climate crisis because it's been really hot lately.
Mm.
All right. And
about Phoenix?
One of the common, yeah.
Kinda, that?
It looks Phoenix-y.
So you're telling me that it's hot in the desert.
So one of the things they've been talking about is that they're treating burn victims, or people who fell on the ground.
Mm.
Are getting burned. I don't know how often that's actually happening. One of the common...
Can they sue the ground? Like you can sue McDonald's for hot coffee?
You gotta sue whoever put the pavement in, I think.
Mm.
You know, the government. So
yeah.
Good luck with that. Heat waves in U.S. and Europe would have been virtually impossible without climate change, new report finds. So they also find that there's been several of these heat waves and they give this 120,000 year number every once in a while or however many years it's been. So first off, it's not virtually impossible. It's happened thousands of times if you go by even their data. They are saying it's happening more frequently, more likely to happen. It's hotter, whatever. We don't even have to talk about that because I looked through the article and I found something that's just really dumb in here as they're talking about the heat waves. Let's see. I'll start with the quote. We still have time to secure a safe and healthy future, but we urgently need to stop burning fossil fuels and invest in decreasing vulnerability. If we do not, tens of thousands of people will keep dying from heat-related causes each year.
Mm, this is the next pandemic.
Heat waves are one of the deadliest natural hazards. More than 61,000 people died of heat-related deaths during Europe's record-breaking heat wave last year, according to a recent study.
Now, there's also no air conditioning in Europe. That's their fault.
Do you know what else that study found?
What's that?
They're like five times more than that died from cold. Okay. So in this paragraph, they say heat waves are one of the deadliest natural hazards here.
Not as deadly as cold waves.
You know what's more deadliest natural hazard than heat waves? Cold waves.
Cold.
Yeah.
So we need to cool the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is the dumbest thing I found in this article. And it annoys me when they pick this one thing. It's like if they can decrease people dying from heat waves, okay, it's 61,000. We got to get that down to 30. But they're not paying attention to like the 300,000 people that died from the cold waves as they came through. And that could increase by more than the decrease in the heat waves. In fact, when you look at if you read a book like Apocalypse Never or,
Schellenberger, isn't
it? Yeah, that's Michael Schellenberger. That's a really good book. And then there's another great one. I always forget the name of it. They will say that actually people dying from heat waves is one of the benefits, in quotes, of climate change. Now, he clarifies that there is not a net benefit from the earth getting hotter. But if you single that down to deaths from temperature, then climate change is actually a benefit because you will have less people dying from extreme temperatures because more people die from cold than die from heat.
Mm.
So speaking of, you know,
So you're saying we need to emit more carbon emissions
to for that specific number? Yeah.
Okay.
If
yeah.
you want, if you're,
I don't like people dying from cold. I don't like being, you know, too cold.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather be too cold than too hot.
Not me.
I would, for sure.
But I grew up in the South.
Oh yeah.
Down there in Louisiana, which, let's by see. The way, is one of the wettest heats you'll find.
It's a wet heat.
It's you go outside, it's heavy.
When you talk about, let me just tell my personal story here. You would think, you know, I was in Abu Dhabi, and it was 115 degrees outside.
Okay. That's a lot of climate change out there.
It was very, it used to be like 114 degrees, and it was 115. It's probably 116 now.
Yeah.
You'd think like, well, but you're out there in UAE, you know, it's dry heat. No, it was like 70% humidity out there, and it was so hot and wet that our drummer wore all of the skin off of his hands because the sticks were so sticky while he was trying to play that he wore all the skin off of his hands while we were playing.
So he's skinless now.
It was a skinless drummer. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was beating the skins, you know? You know what I mean?
How are his hands now? Did they recover?
No, they're okay. Yeah.
Did he get skin back?
No, he took the skin from his face and put it on his hands and... Looks awful, but he can play just fine.
Climate skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a tragedy.
You know how people have been dying suddenly? You know? You heard about people dying suddenly? Mm. And it,
sudden death.
We do this annoying thing where every
like
time...
Like in sports?
In sports.
Sudden death?
Mm-hmm. Or they have a cardiac arrest really quickly and people are talking about it. And then they'll say, obviously, it's the vaccine. That one still annoys me, by the way, because there's a lot of reasons that people can have... cardiac arrest. And also, we didn't used to publicize it quite as much, and it didn't used to get as many retweets as it used to, re-exes, as it used to. So blaming someone's cardiac arrest on the vaccine is as dumb as blaming a hurricane on climate change, just so everyone knows. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't look at the numbers and see if there's something wrong going on. But there's a new narrative out there because a lot of people have been having these sudden cardiac events. All right. The new narrative is.
I mean, Norm Macdonald talked about this a lot, though. Your heart will attack and kill you.
The new narrative is climate change is causing blood clots right now. And so if we can blame all of this on climate change, I think that would be better. Your blood thickens as it gets hotter, as most things do. And then you can have a blood clot, you know.
What?
And in fact, if you look up, I'm not going to put all the stuff up here, but there is a lot of articles disproving this idea.
Yeah,
but
heat increases,
I'm not a doctor.
Blood flow.
Yeah.
It opens up the vessels.
Since when does the stuff thicken when you get it hot? Is that a thing?
I can think of a few things.
All right, y'all, coming up, we're going to talk about RFK and his leftist bias creeping out, Russia threatening to use nukes, Devin Archer, the minimum wage, coming up on Liberty Unite on Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
U.S. USA News Update. Three more people have been federally charged in Texas in connection to a deadly smuggling event that happened back in March. They kidnapped a group of illegal immigrants and held them hostage in Houston hotel rooms.
The hostage takers were sent videos of the vicious beatings to the victims' families to get ransom payments.
FBI Houston Special Agent in Charge James Smith says two of the hostages were released. Law enforcement conducted an operation to rescue the remaining victim. The operation led to the death of one of the kidnappers. Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney says evidence regarding the alleged Gilgo Beach murderer will be handed over on a rolling basis.
We're just basically starting and then, you know, culling the material, providing it, and then, and you know, sort of repeating the process. But there's, you know, it's a massive amount of material.
Tierney spoke outside the Long Island courthouse where Rex Huerman appeared for a pretrial hearing Tuesday. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
All right, we are back. Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Now, one of the top stories of the day that people have been heavily anticipating was this House oversight meeting with, his name is Devin Archer, a business, longtime business partner and friend with Hunter Biden. Mm. You've heard of Hunter Biden before?
Yeah, I think I know that guy.
Yeah, so they met today. There was a little bit of a question as to whether or not it was going to happen. Now, that happened over the weekend, too, and it looked to be not true. What are you doing over there? You're getting comfy. Charlie's getting up, and he's just moving into a leather chair because we don't have our camera set up. You're so much shorter now.
And? What's the point?
Now he's taking his pants off. You guys, I wish you guys could see this.
You asked about Hunter, so I'm trying to get into my, yeah. You know, I'm trying to get into his, to his head right now.
All right.
Got any cocaine yet?
Not on me. No, I don't have any. So they had that. You're kicking your feet up now. Okay. Hunter Biden's former business partner reportedly confirmed to the House Oversight Committee that President Joe Biden was on more than 20 calls with his son during a closed-door hearing on Monday where Republican members pressed for details about alleged foreign business dealings. So this whole time, he's been saying, oh, I got no business dealings with my son Hunter. I've not been involved. There was a thing that happened over the weekend, by the way, where this Devin Archer apparently received a request to report to prison. And that's what he was told, or that's what we were told.
Mm.
That wasn't actually the case. They'd been waiting on him to set up his date. You know, when you go to prison, you get to meet with them and discuss the time that you're going to go to prison. You know, that's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah.
That's how it normally works. Well, he hadn't done that yet, and they've been waiting on him to set up that date and set up his prison time. Well, they sent him a letter about it, and this apparently came out from Matt Gaetz and some of the other people that they were trying to put him in prison before he came and testified. Gaetz sends out this mean tweet about how he's going to haul up people from the DOJ. He wants to call people back to Washington. They're going to haul up these people, and they're talking impeachment, all this stuff. Well, it turns out there was never a chance that he was going to have to go to jail or go to prison before this meeting on Monday. They have been talking with him frequently about scheduling his prison date, and that was just something that also happened over the weekend.
Oh, so you get to schedule prison dates?
Some people schedule prison dates.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you get to pick the time. Because then you got to talk to the Bureau of Prisons, and you got to go through the catalog and pick out whichever one looks like they have the nicest sheets. You know, that's how prison goes.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds... Actually, you know... I guess it doesn't sound that bad.
No.
I don't know.
It doesn't.
Okay. So anyway, we'll get back to the main article. They had the meeting. It was a closed-door meeting, so nothing televised. But it turns out he told people that Biden was present, and the calls did happen on speakerphone, that Biden was there for them, the father, not Hunter. And so a little bit different from what we've been told so far. Hmm. And the question is, how much leverage could have been applied by Joseph R. Biden on account of Hunter Biden doing these dealings and the fact that, oh, hey, my daddy Joe, right here on speakerphone.
Still got some power.
We're doing this deal. And at that time, he's the vice president of the United States. Okay?
I mean, according to Joe Biden, though, he didn't do anything.
That's what I heard.
So
that's what I was told. Devin Archer, who served as a director of Ukrainian energy company Burisma alongside Hunter Biden, reportedly ignored questions from the press as he walked into the O'Neill House office building. The committee was expected to interview Archer for approximately 5 hours, where Republican and Democrat members rotate between hour blocks to investigate the key witness who had alleged Hunter put then Vice President Joe Biden on speakerphone roughly 24 times as Hunter spoke to his foreign business partners or investors beginning in 2014.
Hmm.
So that's a little bit different. Now this, of course, I'm sure that this was happening and way more, but this is coming from Devin Archer, who is a convicted fraudster. That's why he's trying to get his prison time scheduled right now. Has nothing to do with this specific business dealing, but can you trust him? Not entirely sure. Is he trying to help himself now?
I mean, can they prove it? Because this just becomes like a he said type of deal.
It does.
Which doesn't hold up in court.
And so people are saying, oh, they're going to impeach Biden. They're going to impeach Biden. Well, you're not. If you just got a witness testimony, hey, I agree. It's probably happened. Totally agree with you.
I would say more likely than not.
It probably way more happened than what we're even going to hear. And that this guy even knows about. But are we going to be able to prove it? I'm not sure. If they can prove it, if they can prove that Biden was knowingly using his political power to help Hunter Biden and enrich the family, and he was really getting 10% for the big guy, I think we should know about that. I really do. I think the American people should know about that.
I agree.
And you might say,
absolutely
well,
should.
This kind of Charlie, doesn't this kind of thing happen all the time? Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
In politics,
yes.
Don't people use their power to help themselves and their family?
Of course they do.
I mean, I'm sure Trump did the same thing, right?
I'm sure.
So then we shouldn't go after any of them.
We should go after all of them.
We should go after all of them.
Yes.
Let's set the precedent with it. So this clip from RFK from a town hall, I think it was RFK and Hannity, and he talked about free market capitalism. Which, of course, you know, saying that we have corporate crony capitalism, that gets a big applause. And then he goes down a rabbit hole talking about all of the middle class being destroyed. And it essentially becomes a rather leftist democratic socialist argument. But he just starts it by saying that we don't have free market. It's almost as if Bernie Sanders got up there and said, yeah, we don't have free market capitalism. We have corporate crony capitalism, mm-hmm. you know? And then this, all of a sudden, all the Republicans in the audience were like, yeah, everything you say afterwards is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, RFK, let's hear what you got to say.
We don't have capitalism in this country. We have corporate crony capitalism. We have a system of cushy socialism for the super rich, and this brutal, savage, merciless capitalism for the poor, and it's all designed to strip mine the middle class of this country of all of their equity, all of their assets, and move it to the upper echelons. And you know, the COVID lockdowns were the final straw.
Can you pause that real quick?
Lockdowns. We created a billion.
It actually more closely aligns with fascism.
Yeah.
It's not socialism because the government doesn't own any of the companies.
They just control them.
Right.
Democratic fascism.
We're going to get into this, but I'm not saying he's not wrong about the issue. Neither is Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the issue does exist, but the solutions are wrong. It's not the company's fault.
No.
It's the government.
No, it's not the companies. They're just acting within the incentive structure and the structure that's been put before them, and the incentive structure that we, the people, or our parents, the people, have allowed over quite some time. But when he talks about we have socialism for the rich and we got rugged
bootstrap capitalism
for the poor
or the poors.
That's okay. In what way is, like, welfare and Medicaid and all of these different programs that we have a rugged individualist free market capitalism for the poor?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any programs, and everyone's in there just clapping along. Yeah, they stole all this money from us, and we don't have any help for any poor people. That's what we're most known for, is we don't spend any money on the poor here at all. That's not the case. You can't just talk about it like it doesn't exist, mm-hmm. like it's something to do. I have a little more sense than that.
Yeah. Can you put subtitles on this back half?
I will, if you want me to.
Yeah.
Although I doubt they have the technology. Let me see here.
That's,
no.
It's a joke.
It's not an option. Okay, here we go.
Billionaire a day, and this was Trump and Biden, of 500 days of lockdowns. We created a billionaire a day. We moved $4 trillion from the American middle class to the super rich. The people who came into the lockdown with $1 billion increased their wealth on average by 30%. And we closed 3.3 million businesses. And so that,
in retrospect, and I give for a period of time in the early days, nobody knew what the hell they were dealing with. Let's be fair. But there came.
I'm not going to be fair.
All right, you don't be fair. No, in the early days.
Okay. That's that clip.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what happened, though, after the peak of the market when all the billionaires lost a bunch of money?
They lost a lot of money out there,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
And it's gone back up now.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else that had money in the market also made money during that time.
True.
And they lost money afterwards, and now it's gone back up. Have we crossed all-time highs yet?
No. It's been coming back down just a little bit lately, and the Fed just announced another quarter-point hike today. So it was down just a little bit. It was actually kind of even today. But it's been up a bunch this year. Since, like, last October, it's gone up quite a bit. But so he says, if you had $1 billion going into the pandemic, your wealth increased by 30%. Well, people who have $1 billion, most of their wealth is in stocks and investments. And the market went up a bunch. Okay? It doesn't mean that you directly stole money from people. Now, there was a lot of money printed, and a lot of it was given to a lot of corporate, like airlines, you know, given the corporations like that, albeit a lot of people had their businesses shut down because of government mandates. Of course, there's a question of if the government's forcefully going to shut you down, should you be compensated? Should is yes. Can you is no, because the government doesn't have any money that it doesn't steal from other people.
So not only that, we're $30 trillion in the hole.
Yeah, those are two different conversations. So therefore,
the money just literally doesn't exist.
They just shouldn't shut people down. Mm. Like that's the actual answer there. And the way that he talks about $4 trillion being stolen from the middle class and given to the rich, I got to look at his numbers on this. What a lot of people will look at is, imagine that you're in the middle class and you keep growing your wealth and you're growing your wealth. Well, as your wealth grows, you move from the middle class into the upper middle class and into the whatever we call the upper class, whatever that is. That means that, you know,
that's just class.
When you look at stats saying, oh, the middle class is shrinking, most of the time that's because the people in the middle class are moving out of it into a higher class. And so it's shrinking. It doesn't mean it's automatically a bad thing. You've got to look at flesh and blood individuals, like Thomas Sowell would say, and ask if the money is moving to the upper class because it was stolen from them and given to these other people, or if these people increased their wealth to the point that they were in a new bracket after that. And how can that be a bad thing? And so these kind of sweeping overgeneralizations about money leaving the middle class are BS until you actually bring a chart out there and track where the money went and how it got there.
And I think a lot of people are clapping for this because they do feel it in the pocketbook because of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So they do feel like, okay, well, you know, I used to be in the middle class, but now I can't afford my grocery bill to feed my kids anymore. So obviously the rich people stole it.
Yeah.
It couldn't be inflation because they did the Inflation Reduction Act. And that last we heard, inflation went down. So,
God, I'm seeing so much stuff now. About.
I think a lot of people actually feel it, like they feel this economy not being great. And of course, there has to be someone to blame, and it can't be government. So it must be the rich.
Has to be. I'm looking at some charts right now on the Fed's website just to try and see. We keep saying like, oh, I don't know. I'm trying to look at the Fed's website and look at their measurements of wealth here. And see what happened. I do see that wealth for the bottom 50% going into the pandemic was sitting around 7 million in millions, 7 trillion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 7 trillion Q1 2020 and is sitting at 9.3 trillion right now.
Like it went up.
For the bottom 50%. And so that's up by a 2.3 trillion. And what's a 2.3 trillion increase over 7 trillion? What's that come out to be? About
30%?
Okay. Wow. Okay. 30%. What number did he say people with $1 billion increase their net wealth?
30%.
30%. Okay. So you see the point here. So did the bottom 50%.
Nate and I did not know those numbers before just now.
Didn't know it until we were just
so funny.
30%.
That's what makes it so funny.
And that's the problem with RFK is he's just another leftist. He really is. And he's just saying things that get people going. Gets the people going.
Yeah, it's provocative.
And he chose to say that people with $1 billion grew their wealth by 30%. While also the bottom 50% of the country also grew their wealth by 30%. Okay.
Yep.
There's point made and hopefully received as well. Why I cannot get on board with RFK. It's just the same thing. He's a slightly more rational leftist. That's really all he is. Speaking of,
who may be good on the pandemic, and that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, hey. There's stuff going on in Russia, too. I hear your dog barking. You think everything's okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay, cool.
He's just upset that he's in a crate, but he can't stop eating the furniture. So, you know?
When Charlie says, my dog ate my furniture, he's serious about it.
It's legit.
It's a real problem that he's having right now.
Yeah.
A dog eating furniture.
I gotta tell you what, the other day I came home, and he had eaten almost a whole notebook. And I think I was on the phone with you, and I was like, you know, I never used to think people could use that excuse for real, like my dog ate my homework. Yeah. And now I know it's legit.
It's a true story.
Yeah,
it happens. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it can be tough to know which direction to take in life. For example, You might think doing this podcast was an easy move, but it wasn't. It takes a willingness to work crazy hours, read people's differing opinions, and make, well, what you might expect a mid-level libertarian podcast to make. But what gets me through is knowing I'm being true to myself and my values. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Therapy has made a huge difference in my life, and co-host Charlie has used BetterHelp for years. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. This is one that John sent me over the weekend. Maybe this is important. The Kremlin is threatening the use of nuclear weapons in retaliation for a drone strike on Moscow skyscrapers.
I saw that on TikTok, by the way.
Putin ally warns there is no other way out after attack on business district that closed Russian airspace and left one injured. Now, I happen to think that a nuclear weapon is quite a bit in retaliation for a little bitty drone strike on a skyscraper where one person was injured. Okay.
It's like they attack on a scale of one, but we're going to take it to a billion.
I'm saying you can't go much further than that. Like, it's not, they're not like, okay, we're going to, well, they're already bombing them, clearly. You know, so they're already bombing Ukraine, so what are you going to do next? But it's like, okay, you did one thing to us, and so we're going to use nukes? That's not fair. I haven't looked at the rules of war lately, but that is not equal.
That's like you just flipped the chessboard over.
Yeah.
You know?
That's breaking the rules of this game.
They just, like, they move the bishop and put you in check, and then you're just going to flip the whole board over. You know?
There's a little video that doesn't matter. We don't have cameras, and we're not recording this.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw somebody got a video of it.
I didn't see
it. It's crazy.
Let me see. Skyscrapers. Looking around. Why didn't you warn me there was a annoying cry happening in that video?
I needed you to hear it.
But that was a decent-sized explosion. That was bigger than the ones that we've seen from these other little attacks.
It's pretty decent.
So far. But one person injured? Okay. In all seriousness, though, I don't want Russia to use nukes against Ukraine.
No.
And it's not because I care that much about Ukraine.
Or Russia.
I care about myself, my friends and family, and then my community, and then my state, and then I do care about the country as well. And then I care about all human beings on the planet as well, like just in a, you know, because of humanity.
Well, that's why you don't want Russia to use nukes.
Yes, because a lot of people would be injured, and also, listen.
It would cause the end of the world.
When's the last time someone used a nuke against someone? They used a nuke in a war.
1946?
Six, I think. Yeah, 46. It was the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Little bitty baby atomic bomb. All right? We're not even talking about these big honking mega nukes they got now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's what they'd use.
Them hydrogen bombs.
But listen, since a lot of people got them, if Russia uses this thing, that would be the first time since all these countries around the world have nukes that someone else actually used a nuke against someone. That would be really bad. If you see that Russia used a nuke against Ukraine, I'm not normally a proponent of hoarding and getting in lines and stuff. Go to the freaking grocery store and stock up on things, because it'll be bad. I'm not saying we're going to get hit by nukes, but it will cause panic around the world.
Absolutely.
It will.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
You could learn how to hunt real quick, you know?
Speaking of the atomic bomb, we saw Oppenheimer last week.
We could go on Monday.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people complaining about a few things. One, that they didn't, and I get it, as a moviegoer, you want to see some of the stuff. One of the things is that they didn't show anything about, like, they didn't spoiler, I guess, although it's not really a spoiler, it's historical things. They don't show the bomb in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Mm. They show nothing. In fact, they barely talk about it, except for the fact that they did it. That's about it. They don't show any of the fallout from the Trinity tests in New Mexico, which has actually harmed a lot of communities that were like downwind of the radiation for generations.
That's probably, though, because Christopher Nolan didn't shoot it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's going to use like footage or pictures of, because I don't think he does that.
No.
I guarantee that's probably why.
Well, that's not
none of that was in there.
That's not the kind of thing. The movie's called Oppenheimer, you know? I don't think Oppenheimer went down to whatever town was damaged by radiation.
No.
And so therefore it wasn't in the movie Oppenheimer. He also wasn't in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. He requested, according to the movie, to fly in the plane in the B-29 when they dropped the bomb. But he didn't, according to the movie. And so therefore we don't see the bomb get dropped. The movie's literally Oppenheimer from the perspective of Oppenheimer about Robert Oppenheimer.
About, yeah.
That's what it's about.
About this guy named Oppenheimer. Yeah.
So,
great title for a movie about a guy named Oppenheimer.
That's what I would have named it, too.
Yeah. Oppenheimer.
So, if you want to make a movie called Hiroshima or called Little Town in New Mexico.
Nagasaki.
Or Nagasaki, whatever, then make it and show it. That's fine. This is different. I just saw a lot of people complaining. I want to complain about how long the movie was.
That drone strike was a lot smaller.
Much smaller
than one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw it on IMAX, and that wouldn't even have been impressive on the IMAX.
How credible honestly do you think this threat is from Russia saying that they're going to retaliate with nukes?
I mean, it's not very credible, but what was the guy's name who said it? Oh, Dmitry Medvedev, I believe, is the guy who said that. A former Russian president and Putin ally. Is that the one who said it? Yeah, looks like. Has warned there is simply no other way out and said Kyiv should pray to our warriors that they do not allow the global nuclear fire to flare up. I think you have to take it seriously when you say, like, hey, you keep doing this, we're going to nuke you. We got plenty of them. Kind of have to pay attention to it.
I can't help but laugh because as we're reading this story, we're seeing these ads flash by for top stories. And just so you know, Harry and Meghan are in the news again. I don't know what it's about, but we're reading a story about nukes.
Like the end of the world.
The end of the world. And just so you know, here's a top story on the Daily Mail about Harry and Meghan because it's so important.
The Harry and Meghan thing, not quite as important as the threat of nuclear destruction for everyone. Coming up, we'll talk about Cori Bush's unhoused Bill of Rights and Bernie Sanders' proposal for a $17 an hour minimum wage.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.